You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe.
Just believe. In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Oh, change the world.
Change the world. You can do it.
You can do it.
The time is now. Time is now. Let's get to it.
You know, everybody does have a real life journey. And as far as I'm concerned, a very interesting one. If we only had time to discuss everybody's real life journey, I think we would find that there are a lot of differences, but probably more so similarities. And interesting, it's the similarities that brought Alessandra Belloni and I together many, many years ago. And I am so glad that finally she is on our show. Actually, yet again, this is the first time on Life Changes with Filippo, but the second time that I've had the opportunity to interview her. She's a singer, a percussionist, a dancer, an actress. She's the director of the Italian theater group I Giuliari di Piazza, artist in residence at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City, author of the book and DVD Rhythm is the Cure on Mel Bay Publications, and a Remo Drums Signature Series artist, which is not easy to accomplish, with her own line of Italian tambourines. There's so much about Alessandra that I would like to discuss and share with you all, including the fact that she's a shaman. We'll talk about that when we come back with Alessandra Belloni on Life Changes with Filippo.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, as I'm about to say what I'm about to say, I realize that I'm about to date myself. How many years? I'm not really sure. When was the last time there was a record store? Are there still record stores? I walked into a record store, and as I walked in, looking through the Italian section, many of you know, I sing Italian songs. I'm very big in my Italian culture, you know, raised Italian-American in this country, grew up speaking Italian before I spoke English here in this country, and I saw a CD of Alessandra Belloni doing Tarantellas, and I bought that CD and I nearly wore it out as I listened to songs that were reminiscent not only of my personal past, but probably of a past in the tradition of Italian music that I was familiar with and yet was not as familiar with it as I really wanted to be. And so, because I grew up with this music, like I said, my parents used to actually play it on the record player. There I go, dating myself again. But my grandmother used to actually drum. On rare occasion, and a beautiful occasion it would be, when we would grab the drum and bring it to her, the tambourine, and ask her if she would play it, she would. And it wasn't the kind of playing where you hit it up against your hip while you're listening and going with the rhythm of the music. There's nothing wrong with that. My grandmother used to make music by herself with the tambourine. Now, she was born in the late 1800s, and she was bringing sounds and rhythms and music from Sicily and from the heritage and culture that she knew. And she would tell me how the people would dance to this music. And you could tell it was very special to her. She would go to a special place. As children, we knew it, we heard it, we felt it. We could see it in her. And we would go someplace too, not the same place that she went to, but we would go someplace too. And so it was always special for us when Nonna, our grandmother, would play the tambourine. Many years later, when I bought this CD and had heard it many times over and enjoyed Alessandra Belloni on this CD, I saw that she was coming into town in Los Angeles. And at the time I was doing a show with Richard Lombardi called Filippo and the Chef on the radio. And I said, I want to interview Alessandra Belloni. I requested an interview. She granted it. I went in. She asked me to come into the workshop she was doing and experience some of it before the interview. And at the end of the workshop, after having heard her musical course on the CD, and after seeing her perform and teach drumming throughout the day's workshop, I said to her, I've heard you do a lot of amazing rhythms. I just wonder if you know the rhythm that my grandmother used to do. And she said, oh, where was she from? And I told her specifically, and she said, oh, she probably did this one. And she did a rhythm, and it was very beautiful. And yes, I remembered songs that had that rhythm in there. But I said, no, it wasn't that one. And then she said, well, then probably it was this one. Again, very appropriate, very specific to the region where my grandmother came from. She obviously knew her stuff. But unfortunately, I was thinking maybe she didn't know the rhythm that my grandmother knew. And then I tried to sing it for her. And she said, really? Really? Are you sure? Your grandmother knew how to play that? And then she broke out into the exact same rhythm. And I watched her hands do the same exact thing my grandmother's hands used to do. And let me tell you, her workshops are about healing. And for me, the healing was right there. She brought back something to me that I hadn't experienced in years, and there was a healing right there when she started to play my grandmother's rhythm. And she said, you know, I know that rhythm very well, and I don't normally go straight for that because most people don't know it. Most people alive don't know how to play it, and it's like the mother load of all rhythms. And there we are. And so we connected, Alessandra and I, in such a beautiful way. And every time we have an opportunity to get together, I see her perform and enjoy. I've performed with her. And here we are finally together on our show on Life Changes with Filippo. She's a singer, percussionist, a dancer, an actress, an author, and a shaman, and so many more things. She is a powerful woman. Welcome, Alessandra Belloni, to Life Changes with Filippo.
Grazie.
Prego.
Am I on? Grazie, I'm very excited. So I was just listening, kind of overwhelmed by what you were saying.
You remember, right?
Of course I remember. And it came back real fresh. That's a very interesting thing. It just went right back, you know, to that time, which is a few years ago. I think it's about 10 years ago.
Yeah, a few years ago. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Well, and technically that is the work that you do, is you bring things up.
That's one way of putting it. Sure. Yes. I think you're right. But I'm glad I had such a powerful effect on you, Filippo. That's beautiful.
Well, you have, and not just on me, on so many people, actually, that I know and have personally seen at the various workshops or performances, like in New York or in Las Vegas. I think I saw you once. Yes, I did, actually. Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I've seen you all over here in Los Angeles, and I know you've performed Brazil, Hawaii, Canada, all over. And yeah. And the interesting thing to me is that so many cultures have some of these exact rhythms, or if not exact, then very similar, and right. if not, and use almost exact instruments. It seems like this is the rhythm or the sound of what the earth or the
cultures. Yes, it's definitely the sound of the earth and the womb of the earth and the heartbeat of the mother. It's all coming from that. And of course, a lot of roots come from Africa, where we in the south of Italy, we connect to Africa. So that, you know, those rhythms, the 4-4, the 6-8, are really universal and trance-inducing.
Right. You know what? In order to prepare for the show, I've been listening to many, many hours, actually, of your music. And in so doing, it made me think these... We'll talk about this later, I'm sure, but this is the original rave, right?
Yes, absolutely, yes. You got it. That's what I'm trying to do, to bring it back to that. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's primordial, and it's a rave. People tranced out by the hundreds when they did these rituals. Absolutely.
Well, you know, let's talk about...
But without drugs. Without drugs.
Without drugs.
With wine. A lot of wine, though.
Okay.
Dionysus. Well. The cult of the Dionysus.
Well, let's talk about tarantellas and pizzicatas and all that when we come back and the trancing out. However, I'd like to give our listeners a taste of what we've got going here tonight, or who we have on the show. We're going to hear a pizzicata tarantata, actually, if you want to just give a 20-second intro to it, and then we'll go straight to it.
Yeah, it's the original tarantella used to cure the mythical bite of the tarantula, which is a metaphor for the bite of love, the bite of the subconscious mind of people who feel trapped in the spider web of their life, society, and their only way to break the web is to dance, a very wild, erotic dance. So it's not the silly wedding dance that most people think the tarantella is. On the contrary, it's pretty wild, and it has that effect of getting out the poison and the negativity out of your body through the movements and the rhythm.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll go on a break, and then we'll do that when we come back from the break, right here on Life Changes with Filippo.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, FILIPPO.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
So we are talking with Alessandra Belloni. Alessandra, actually, you know, I say it the way I believe it ought to be said, but...
Yes, you do. One of the few.
So people can find you, first of all, we'll give your address, which is alessandrabelloni.com. So Alessandra, spelled A-L-A-L, Bessandra. And then Belloni is Be Like Boy, Belloni.com. Now, how might an American say that?
I don't know, because I'm not American. I can never, people have pronounced my name in different ways, but I'm not happy when that happens.
Okay. In a minute, we're going to hear actually some music. But before we do, speaking of you not being American, you were Italian, and in a sense, you wanted to be American, in the sense you came to America, right?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
It's interesting that here you are, like, the most original Italian now. So you were tell us real quickly, you were born in Italy, Rome.
Yes, I was born in Rome, and I was a child actress. I was kind of discovered by Anna Magnani, the great actress. But my father didn't let me go on tour with them, with Zeffirelli Magnani, which is a long, you know, it's a real big deal. So I swore revenge that I would one day be a professional actress and singer. And then my sister came to New York, and my mother took me to visit her for a month, and I stayed. I never went back, because I knew that this was my freedom to expression, especially as a woman. You know, in Italy, it's still not that easy, but it was much harder before, to be yourself and to get away from a very strict father. So we did it, though. My sister was the first, and I came, and I'm still here. You know, it was a month vacation, but, you know, it really lasted a long time. And so, you know, it was in the 70s. So then I went to school here for acting and music and many things. But when I heard the folk music back in Italy, it really hit my heart. So I kind of went back in a full circle. I found my path after studying all kinds of things that are not really directly connected to what I'm doing now, but it was the music of my grandparents. So it really hit my heart, and I started making it my path and decided, you know, to fund a group here and to start a company with John La Barbera, my co-director. And that's how we began at NYU, at the, you know, New York University. And we had no idea how we were going to be received, because, you know, Filippo, that Italian Americans don't identify with the music that I play, right? You know that. Not so much.
Yes and no, I did. And the interesting thing is it's not just the Italian Americans that are wanting that resonate with this. It, like I said, it is international, and I believe it's becoming even more so.
Now it's a trend in Italy, absolutely. When we started, it was a political movement in Italy. It was a leftist movement. Here, for me, it was really, from a scholarly point of view, to do all the research, you know, with ethnomusicology, anthropology, sociology. So I am considered a scholar, because I did all that with books and then traveling, the field research, going to Italy every summer, some winter, from town to town to town, to learn from the old people. So there is a, you know, you cannot do this music or even the dances unless you are from there and spend time there. So you are very lucky that you had a grandmother that showed you that. Really lucky.
Absolutely.
That's a gift beyond, really. What a gift. When you were saying that before, I was almost crying. I was, you know, seeing it like, wow, what a blessing. Because a lot of people don't have that, you know. And this is why I said a lot of Italian Americans maybe don't identify, because I think something happened to the Italian immigrants when they came here. They may have been embarrassed of their folk culture, so they didn't stay so connected to that. And
right,
the music they connect to is more the classical Neapolitan songs and all the other repertoire, but not the folk heritage like the Irish or the Greek or, you know, of course, the Africans and the Latins and Brazilians. So it was harder for us to bring this music back because people didn't know it.
They didn't know it. And actually, you said something about the silly tarantella dance. I used to dance the silly tarantella dance, quote unquote, as a child, as a folkloric show. And actually, I liked it very much. And I think it's no less silly, frankly, than I know you say it tongue in cheek. And I also know that you're very passionate about the fact that its origins are, in a sense, much more important than just a show or just beauty. Let me say it this way. It's the origins are beautiful, though they may not be pretty.
Exactly. because they deal with depression and people suffering, you know. And I think people, when they came to this country, probably were Tarantati. They, you know, the people that were bitten by the spider were called Tarantati, and they suffer from depression. Sometimes manic depression, suicide mania, all kinds of sadness. And in Italy, in the south of Italy, they didn't give them pills. They didn't do any of those things. They danced the tarantella. So that's why it's so beautiful, because it had the power to heal and to restore lost balance, especially for women who were abused too. Because a lot of women, you probably know that, they weren't, you know, they couldn't choose their husbands many times. They were forced to marry men they didn't love by the fathers. So that was abuse. There was no word for it, but, you know, but that's what it was. So this dance had that power to take that out, to take that trauma out. So I think what I think, because my immigration here is different, it's more, you know, as an artist coming here to make it in the arts world, I think people were embarrassed of those roots. Don't you think, Filippo? That's probably what it was, right? The people were embarrassed of that.
You know, I believe that there is some of that. I believe that with the onset of new kinds of religions also, some of that is looked at as potentially the voodoo, or just folklore or wives' tales or things of that nature. And that's one of the things when I heard you lecture one day that I found very interesting. We have talked so much about not you and I, but in the new studies in science, so much about the body being energy, and the body, every right. cell in the body vibrating. And so to me, being a musician, a singer, an instrumentalist, I get that. I get that our body is music, and that mm-hmm. music, like a singer who sings into a glass can break a glass. That is true if you find the vibration of that glass.
Absolutely. And, that's right. And, I never thought of that. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah, well, that's a well, connection. What you, I'm glad I helped you with that, because where that comes from, the connection I made is when you talk about the musicians playing for 3 days and three nights. Tell us about right. that.
Yeah. So the tarantella, called pizzica tarantata, was a ritual that actually goes back, if I can say, to the ancient rites of the Bacchantes, the women that dance in honor of the god Dionysus. They were possessed by the god, and in ecstasy they danced for days and days in the woods in ancient Greece, and southern Italy was part of Greece, called Magna Grecia. Before that, there is the myth of the spider, the arachne. So what we have in our subconscious mind is the archetype of the spider. And every culture connects to the spider. In our culture, it's spider woman. It's not spider man, like the society has brought that up. But originally, it was spider woman. So briefly, arachne was believed to be a very beautiful young princess from Athens, a virgin. And she was a skilled weaver of the land. And she challenges the goddess Athena to a weaving contest. Arachne wins. Athena gets furious, and she breaks the linen in 1,000 pieces and hits her over the head. And Arachne, in humiliation, she hangs herself from a tree and commits suicide. And Athena, taken by pity, transforms her into a spider, condemning her to weave her web forever. So this is the real origin of the tarantella, connecting to the spider web and the venom. And it's believed that other women were taken by depression and suicide mania, identifying with Arachne. So collective suicide mania began, and it stopped when they were allowed to celebrate the god Dionysus, the famous god of ecstasy, wine, a very complex god that in Italy we love very much, as you know. He's really all over Italy. And in the south, of course, very popular. And so what happened with Christianity is that some of these rites of the Bacchantes, you know, they were liberated, so sexually liberated, but they were also shamans. So there is, I think, a lot of confusion, unless you really are a scholar, about what the Bacchantes did. They were not crazy women. They were shamans. They were initiated in the mysteries. And they celebrated sometimes orgiastic rituals, but it was sacred. So it was sacred sexuality, which is what I also teach when I do workshops. So the women identify with their body as a sacred temple, and it's not to be violated.
So we obviously we weren't supposed to play the pizzicata before. We're supposed to
now do you know what it is?
Now we know why. And so tell us about the 3 days and three nights scenario before we play it.
Okay, so as they continued through the centuries, this became the pizzica tarantata, the women known as tarantate. And when they felt the bite, which is, as I said, was a form of depression, they called the musicians, like shamans, they would come and play for 3 days and three nights in their home. And all dressed in white, on a white sheet, they would dance with colorful ribbons in a trance induced by the tambourine, usually played by an old woman. And they... the shamans, the musicians, had to know the cure because each person reacted to a different tune. So they had to know lots and lots of different songs before they hit the right notes with the violin. And then, of course, the tambourine had to keep that obsessive 6-8. And through those 3 days of trance, the women would let go of their sadness, their poison, and they were liberated. At the third day, they would come out of the trance cured. So it's a very interesting shamanic ritual.
And you can hear that, actually, as we go into break here. We're going to hear this piece. You can, unfortunately, we're not able to play all of it, but it starts a little slower. There's chanting, and the instruments start to come in, and then it starts to go into this more rapid, frantic pace, you could say. And if you could imagine, Alessandra is playing this with her hands. I'm doing something with my hands right now, but you can't see it. But Alessandra knows what I'm doing. And and it actually even goes frantic from the segment that I picked, but even more frantic. But I thought this segment would give us a taste. And then we'll be right back after that and after commercial with Alessandra Belloni.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
This is Filippo, and I'm having yet a very energetic conversation with Alessandra Belloni, our guest. You heard Pizzicata Tarantata just before the break there. And if you want to know more about Alessandra's work, if you want to know about her performance schedule, if you want to know about her workshops that she does for women all over the world, actually, if you want to know about where you could learn how to drum either through her workshop or her DVD or her book, etc., 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 you could go to alessandrabelloni.com. That's alessandrabelloni.com. Alessandra.
Yes.
I think we could spend a whole show, if not do a whole special, just on the Black Madonna alone.
Yes, absolutely.
I will have to say that when I first came to see you the very first time, I knew very little about her. And please share with our audience. Actually, a lot of people know about her, which is amazing, but so many people don't. So please tell her what she means to you, what she means to the world, what you'd like to share, and then we'll play a song.
Sure. Well, of course, you know that I'm devoted to the Black Madonna, and the way she came to me is when I was doing the research that I was describing, going to the south of Italy and doing all these pilgrimages and rituals. I always found Black Madonnas in these churches, you know, going south from Naples all the way, well, all the way down. As you know, in Sicily, there is a very important one. And because I was born in Rome, I wasn't aware that there was a Black Madonna because of the Vatican trying to keep it secret, even though there are Black Madonnas in Rome as well. So I then started asking questions, but I didn't get the right answers, you know, because they say it's the candle smoke. And of course, I didn't believe that. And so I realized also that many of those beautiful churches, like Tindari, especially in Sicily, are built right next to ancient temples that are Roman and Greek. And there are still temples there of the great goddess, the goddess of the earth, Demeter, Isis from Egypt, Cybele from Anatolia, and also Artemis of Ephesus, the goddess of the moon. So it was quite clear that a church was built over a temple that was there before Christianity. But it was really beautiful, though, that actually the Christian church has kept her alive, even though it's a pre-Christian phenomenon. And also there is a connection, of course, with the roots from Africa. So it is a complicated thing to explain, because when you see those statues, you can't help it but feel the power, that there is something very powerful, very ancient, that comes from their faces, their eyes, and the way they are on a throne. They're always on a throne, really like a matriarch. And you can't help feeling, oh, this, you're overwhelmed by that. And there is always like an incredible energy that comes from them. This is what I've experienced from day one, that they were alive. These statues talked to me. They had messages for me. I had visions. And it was all about spreading the word, bring her back. Because when I realized that she was connected to the Earth Mother, it was really at the time when we're all understanding that the Earth is in danger, the ecological situation is very, very bad all over our planet. And then as I did the research, I found out that the ancient people already knew what they now call the Gaia theory. So that the Earth is a living being and she has to be respected as such. The Black Madonna represents that too, the one that gives birth, that can think, can nurture. And also the connection to Africa, to having one universal mother, which is also something that people don't accept very easily at all. You know, people don't want to accept that. But now it's pretty much proved. So that she represents all these beautiful things. And I had a lot of personal miracles happen when I was in these processions, chanting for her, drumming all night. A lot of people were healed. I healed myself. I think you know the story that I had cancerous cells in the cervix, and I had a surgery, and then when I woke up, I had the vision of the Black Madonna that really came alive and was taking me on a whole new path. So she kind of chose me. I feel like she chose me as a priestess, you know. And then I realized that in the ancient times, women priestesses initiated in the mystery of the Earth Mother and Isis, especially from Egypt, they use the frame drums and the tambourines, and they use them to heal. So I picked up an instrument without knowing that had that direct connection to the Black Madonna. But I'm sure your grandmother knew that. I'm sure she knew that they played it for the Madonna. So I think it's a treasure, you know, that in Italy we have that. Because in other countries that's disappeared. People don't do that anymore.
You know, I was talking to our producer, Dorothy, about the Black Madonna because we knew we were going to have you on the show. And she says, oh, yeah, in Cologne, where she visited the Black Madonna, she said that particular church gets 20,000 visitors a day.
Wow.
I would say the Black Madonna is a rock star.
Yes. You're right, and we should make her such, because she's hidden. See, like in New York, there's so many Black Madonnas, and now I made it my point. I want to do a whole program called Unveiling the Black Madonnas in New York, starting on Park Avenue in the Bronx. They're everywhere, but she was a rock star. You're right, because people knew the power, you know, and the fact that people drum for her and sing and dance all night, and it's also sensual. It's not, you know, what you think of something, you know, something that is very, you know, it's not Puritan at all. The tamburiata dance for the Black Madonna is very sensual. It's all about making love. Every gesture is about making love. And it goes back to this ancient fertility rites, you know. And that's what you feel from these statues. They're usually very beautiful, beautiful feature, and they're sensual statues. That's why the Vatican tried to keep it secret. But they can't. You know, they try, but actually, you know, in the south of Italy, the church keeps the feasts going. So that's the best part. You can go every summer and participate. So actually, something you don't know, Filippo, is that I decided the first time in my life, I'm going to lead a pilgrimage to the sacred sites of the Black Madonnas in southern Italy this summer.
I didn't know that.
I just decided last week. That's what? Why you didn't know. I want to make it happen because everyone is asking, you know. It's time.
You're going to where my roots are.
Yes, we're going to start in Naples and end in Sicily, Tindari.
When?
The plan is from August 5th through August 15th, when there are feasts that we can participate in. And starting from Naples, south of Naples, there is a beautiful Black Madonna, La Madonna della Neve, and she's by the ocean, so there's going to be a feast where they reenact all the blessing of the sea, and then going south in Calabria, and then ending in Tindari, because that's one of the most magical places, really, probably, I think, on Earth, because it's a sacred mountain over the sea with a cave underneath where the Madonna was found. Tindari is an Ethiopian name. She came from Ethiopia in a mysterious ship. And there are these three lakes at the bottom of the mountain. There are salt water lakes, and they're very magical. So I've had a lot of really miraculous experiences in those waters. So there's a place, it's a place that I believe is so strong that deserves to be known more. No, not too many people know about Tindari. you gotta see it.
You know, this is one of the things that you don't know about me, that every time we connect, I feel like I learn something new about my heritage, about chanting, about drumming and journeying and all this stuff. And I have to say, you don't know this, and I can't believe I'm going to tell you this, but when I came to interview you, so yeah. I was very interested in you and the music, but I was not interested in the workshop per se, because first of all, it was... I think the first day I came was all women.
Right.
Then you invited me to the second day, and I didn't want to come, but something said go. And I think there were two other men there. But
yes, I remember. Absolutely. Yes.
And I didn't want to participate. I wanted to watch, because to me it was kind of a show, and I didn't know what really was going on, or it just looked like a lot of... not a lot. You taught the steps, which I enjoyed, some of the similar steps that I'd learned as a child. But anyway, and then the music started and I got into it, and that was all fun and good. But then when you invited me, like you had the everybody else in the workshop to get on the white sheet. Oh, you know where this is going, don't you? And I thought, oh, I don't want to look silly. I don't want to look like everybody else. I don't know that I want to do this. And then the next thing I know, I was doing something on the sheet, on the floor. And right. And I realized at one point I came to. I had gone someplace and didn't realize I had left. And so...
Beautiful, beautiful.
Something happened, and whatever it was, I hope I left it on that white sheet. So before we go on to any more of that, and if you want to experience that, even just for the, there's so much. There's the drumming, there's the music, there's the dancing, there's
the singing,
the steps, there's the singing, the chants, and then of course the shamanic experience on the sheet. before we're going to take a break, but before we do, we're going to go out with the Ave Maria de Montserrat, is it?
You want yes.
A word
yes.
about that?
It's a medieval prayer. It's an Ave Maria, Hail Mary, that I found from Spain. It's called a collection of Hail Marys called Livre Vermeil from Montserrat in the province of Barcelona. We have a twin sister of that Madonna in Italy, in Viggiano. So the same music is played. So I arranged it with the healing trance rhythm from Calabria, a 6-8 rhythm that is used still in Calabria to send away fear of death, fear of contagious disease. And that's what happened in the Middle Ages. People used these rhythms to send away the fear of death by the plague. So it's a very powerful, powerful rhythm.
Now, the song is about 8 minutes long, so I picked about a minute and a half somewhere in the middle. So you can imagine it starts very, very slow, and then it gets very, very frantic, and this is somewhere in the middle.
Con carentes, Ave María.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
So we're back talking to Alessandra Belloni. Before psychotherapy and modern medicine, there was shamanism. You may be surprised to learn there still is. Take a journey of discovery, mysticism, erotic empowerment, healing and joy with the diva shaman Alessandra Belloni, who travels the world bringing relief from pain to troubled, traumatized women using the Tarantella spider dance as a tool for profound healing and empowerment. Alessandra, we have just a few more minutes together, and I'm just wondering what else can we impart? Do we have another song we could play, but we you and I could talk for hours.
So. I know, I don't see you enough, unfortunately. Yeah, we need to see each other more often. But yeah, no, I really would like to end with this subject because it's really become my path much more than I thought it would, which is healing, especially women who have been sexually abused or that have been traumatized. And it's, again, something that chose me, I believe, as I started teaching my workshops here at St. John the Divine at the Cathedral while I'm artist in residence. The first person I healed had cysts, and I don't know if she had many traumas, but her cysts went away instantly after dancing the pizzica with me in the darkness of the crypt of the cathedral. So that's a long time. That's in the 90s. And then after that, because I healed myself with the dance of irregular bleeding, then I realized there is this dance is not something on the past. It's something that we can use today as a tool. So I started teaching workshops, and I do that every summer, as you know, in Tuscany, which I hope one day you will come to. And it's a very powerful week. You know, I have this villa that I use. It's beautiful in the hills. It's a holistic place. It's a Buddhist place as well. So the people are very special. The food is amazing because it's all organic and gourmet and with great chefs. But I have understood through the years that as I hold this workshop every summer, and women now come from different parts of the world, they a lot of them share stories of abuse. And normally I feel it before they tell me. And what I have now decided to share, and I have accepted now the fact that I am a shaman. You know, in the past, I didn't want to say that at all.
You know why I think?
At all. I was like, now I'm a musician.
Yeah. I think it's partly because the shamans of the past used to be old and used to be... You know,
and one tooth.
You're not. So, you know, we just have to accept that we could be where we are and be shamans.
Yeah. No, it's true. And also... It is a scary path because you deal with people's pain. You know, what happens is that when I tune in, you know, in the workshops, I can start feeling people's pain. And I know there's something that's happened to these people. And so it's not pleasant, but I learned how to love it. And I actually feel immense compassion, like if my heart expands, like with a lot of heat. And then when I do the ritual of the pizzica and each person falls down on the white sheet with the red ribbons and I drum over them, if that woman has been abused, I have these crazy visions of blood coming out of the womb and dark matter. It's not pleasant, it's scary, but it's real. So I have now acknowledged that I have the power to transform that, because when they come up and they come out of the trance, what happens? And now I'm posting this stuff actually in the internet because I have clips of this last summer workshop in Tuscany that they tell me I have transformed their lives. And I had no idea I could do that. I really didn't. Again, I used to think of myself as a musician you know, acknowledging that I'm a little bit of a diva with my needs, you know, as a singer, as you know, singers were a little bit of divas. And then I realized I have these other powers, and it's, you know, if I can help others, especially women and also men, I've collected some incredible stories of men also are gay that have suffered other abuse. And so, as you probably know, my project is to bring this to the world more. So there is a, if people are interested, they could come to my workshop in Tuscany in August, which is happening August 18th to the 25th. But I'm also planning to make this more accessible through the media, through television. So I'm in a process of writing a possible television program and make it available to everyone. There is something we can do to stop abuse is by really addressing it and also by transforming it so that other women are not victims. You know what I'm saying? They can empower other women to come out.
The Village Voice says Alessandra Belloni is, they probably said Alessandra Belloni.
Yes. Is say the least. Alexandria is usually.
But the point I was trying to get at is the Village Voice says she is a force of nature. And the interesting thing here too, to me, is that drummers, that becoming a remote drummer is a big deal out in the world. There are rock stars, famous rock stars that are remote drummers. And Alessandra Belloni, with her own drums, her own tambourines that you've designed, you become an icon in that world as well.
It's true.
You're in drum magazines, your Modern Drummer magazine. Yeah. And they're all talking about you in there. Like Rick Mantinley said, with her left hand, she uses a variety of techniques to produce a wide range of timbres, incorporating thumb strokes, finger strokes, and slaps. Boy, watch out for those slaps.
You're right. But, you know, I'm not a big woman. I'm a small woman, but I have a lot of strength. I think that's what's been my interesting challenge. When I learned this drumming, we're mainly guys in Italy, and I learned from some old women, but I had to prove my strength by drumming all night with them, bleeding my thumb, and you know, it's all in my book, as you know, and you're part of my book and DVD, by the way, so that's an interesting path we have together.
You're
there with me doing it. So that's an interesting thing. I think it's important for women to bring that power back, because these particular instruments, the frame drums, were a woman instrument. That's why your grandmother played it, because it was done by women. Unfortunately, it's been lost, and I've really worked, as you know, very hard to empower women again with this particular instrument. And that's where you really start healing. When you do my workshop, it starts with the percussion, with that even beat, you know, the 4-4, 6-8, and then we go into the dance. So I just taught a workshop on Saturday for Women's Day in Woodstock, and there were some women where I felt, you know, there was traumas and violence, and I could see the transformation only in 3 hours. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
It works. It does work. So well, I hope that I can make it more accessible to everyone.
Well, you know, I'm glad to be able to help you do that by having you here on our show at Life Changes with Filippo. I know you have a river dance type show that is potentially Broadway bound, that's already set to go, and that you have a, maybe I shouldn't say anymore. Maybe I know too much.
No, that's great to say, because I've been working on this, the musical Tarantella Spider Dance, which we've been doing for a few years, and it's really beautiful. But I think before we move forward with that, I need to make this television debut, this television show, you know, that we're now calling Diva Shaman because of who I am. I think it's a cool title. I really want to do that soon, because my workshops are coming up, and I hope to get it out of into the world soon. So now we're editing a demo that shows who I am in my regular life a little bit, or in my performances, and then my students, what happens to them. Today, I just heard that one of the students, Dragata, who I am writing an episode about. She spoke about her transformation with my workshop online, and I posted it, and her boyfriend that she met the day she met me, it's all very magic. When people come into my life, everything happens. He proposed to her to get married as he read the testimony, and he saw her tell the story, and now they're getting married in the summer.
Well, magic happens. I would say more power true. To you, but if you've got the Black Madonna behind you, seem to me you have all the power you need. We have to go, and okay. Like all of our other times together, we have to cut it short because at some point we have to sleep. with that, Alessandra, much love to you. And
thank you, Filippo. Same to you.
So much for doing what you're doing for my heritage, for the music, for the drummers, for the tambourine, for Remo, for Alessandra, and for the women, and for shamanism and all of that. So, been a pleasure having you on. AlessandraBelloni.com to find out more. I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world. Now's the time. Now's the time.